This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Leicester City have a penalty kick in the 6 minutes of injury time.
Knockout takes. Almunia saves. Knockout follows in. Almunia saves again.
And now Watford are on the counter-attack.
Forestieri.
Hello, you're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Peter.
And joining us for the opposition view, unofficial fourth member of the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. You may have seen him joining us in various photos at the FCA's back in November. It's lovely to speak to him again. It's Ant Waterson, everybody, Sunderland fan. How are you doing?
Apart from the football, I'm fine. Yeah, good. Thanks. Thanks for having us back.
It's lovely to see you again anyway. It's always good to speak to you, Ant. Always good to speak to you.
Yes. At least I don't need my tie doing on these. You know what I mean?
And there's terrible dinners to suffer. No.
The last time we spoke, were we all pissed?
Well, us three were. Justin had gone home.
I would try, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I know. This is me and my temper. I don't like to have big displays of flash temper. I just go, well, I'm fucking home now. Good night. See you later. So, yes. Anyway, let's not dwell on this. Let's talk about the game that's happening this Saturday. Final home game of the season for Watford. We are entertaining. There's a word. Sunderland. Yes. So, yeah, how's your season been going?
Yes. Yes.
Am I allowed to swear or not?
Yeah, well, we've got a swear button now, so you're okay.
We've got a swear button, but bleep.
We came up to you guys. We really were in a... It was the end of a really bad period, and after we played you, it improved a lot. But you guys were doing all right at the time, and then you brought in a new manager. It didn't really fire well, did it? Tell us how it went from there.
I've got to be honest, I don't think we've won very many games since then. It was just that start of the season, and then has kept us out of a relegation dogfight, because like January to now has been absolutely disgraceful. And I'm literally like, it's got to a point where I was at the Millwall game on Saturday, and I was that bored watching the match, I was counting how many seagulls were on the roof of the stadium, because it was that bad. It was so horrible. I don't know. Obviously, you mentioned before, we got rid of Tony Mowbray in, I think, December time. It's only four months ago. It seems like a lifetime ago. We were playing all right football. It came to a natural end under Mowbray, I think, because the football was, it wasn't great, and the results weren't going our way. And then they made the miraculous decision or whatever to bring in Mick Beale that nobody wanted in, and it didn't go well. He lasted 12 games, something along those lines. Can't remember winning many. Obviously, we got beat off Newcastle in the FA Cup, and then Mick Beale left not long after that. We've just gave the job to Mike Dodds now. I think it's his kind of audition for the job. He's failed badly. Yeah, we're just plundering on until the end of the season. I remember, right, because probably it was round about this time last year where we played you guys at our place, because it was our last home game. So I would assume it's like this time last year.
Yeah.
I remember Carl saying, I just want this season to be over because I don't want to talk about football anymore. And I am literally exactly the same. I've just got no kind of appetite to talk about football at all. We've just been shocking.
Luckily, you're on the right podcast to get away
with. Yeah, we rarely stray onto the subject of football. Don't worry about that. That's fine. Yeah,
yeah. It's just one of these. We've just got to take it on the chin, I think. It's been a bad season. I think it's what I was expecting to happen last season with being our first season back and stuff. And I probably would have accepted it because I'd have killed for a top 12 finish or a mid-table finish last year. Just have a nice boring season. We managed to get into the playoffs. We were close. I think we were a centre-half away from going up, to be honest, because I think we would have been country in the final, to be honest, we've got past Luton. But this year, it's just been the rules reversed. We've just been abject. It's just been horrible.
Yeah. Obviously, Michael Beale, for those who don't remember him, started the season at QPR, then went to Rangers, took the Queen's Park out of the equation, went to Rangers, fucked up there, went to you guys, fucked up there. He's basically done a career in a season, hasn't he? From the manager who was supposed to be the really good thing about Steven Gerrard's time at Rangers and at Aston Villa. Seemingly, he's somebody who might be very good in the back room of a management team, but he clearly isn't a number one, yeah, for sure. And you've paid the price for that, and therefore you're nestling close to us in mid-season or in mid-table meh-ness of everything. In terms of looking ahead to next season, and I appreciate that's what we have to do at this moment in time, both teams, but you have got, I think you are where we had been probably this time last year, in as much as you've still got some potential gems to cash in on. Now, I'm obviously thinking about Jack Clark. I don't think so much Patrick Roberts, because he's somebody who I think has actually found a home at Sunderland. He's been a player who's been nomadic and never really had it. I think he'll probably want to stay, and he's probably of an age to stay there. But you've also bought in Joby, or otherwise known as the other Bellingham. You've got a number of players there. What are the chances of keeping hold of what you've got, and what are the plans to grow next season?
I don't think Jack Clark will be here. I think Jack Clark will probably get a Premier League move. The problem is, with Clark, he got injured like late February time. He missed most of March. He's only just come back. And the last couple of games, he has not played well at all. Everything he's trying hasn't worked. To a point where, if I was a Premier League scout looking at him now, I'd say he's probably not good enough for the Championship, never mind the Premiership. But you deny that over the last year and a half, he's probably been our best player, especially back in the last season. And the majority of this season, if we didn't have him, we'd be bottom, to be honest. We'd be battling with Rotherham to see who the worst team in the history of the Championship is, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, he'll go, I think. I think he'll probably go. Obviously, Job's come in. He started well. I think he's just been played too much. I think that's his problem. I don't think he was expecting to play the amount of games he has. Maybe it would have been coming off the bench quite a lot, or the fact that we've just had nobody else. He's playing up front at the minute, and he's a centre midfield. He's playing up front because the four strikers we brought haven't barely scored a goal between them. You mentioned Patrick Roberts. He's had a bad season. He's just signed a new contract, but I wouldn't be that devastated if he left, to be totally honest with you. No, last year I thought he was superb. He's just not kicked on. I think he misses Ahmad, to be honest, which, Ahmad was mercurial last year. But we've got a lad in midfield who was unfortunately out for the rest of the season now. He picked up an ankle injury in Dan Neal, and he's been superb this year. He's been absolutely superb. And if I was a Premier League side, he'd be the one I'd be looking at over the likes of Bellingham and Clark. I think Neal's been statistically our best player. He's always a 7-8 out of 10. But apart from that, I don't think there's anyone that I'm too worried about the Premier League picking up, because they just have not performed at all. Bar Clark and Neal, I would say. And Job's had his moments. He's had a goal against Plymouth, which was a superb goal. Literally like what his brother does. He just has a little look and then just curls it in the top corner. So you know there's a player there. Mm-hmm. It's just the fact I think we've overdone him this season. I think he's just goose since Christmas. But we'll see what happens. But as you said before, we've got a couple of gems. Chris Rigg, who I think will be an England player, to be honest. Fantastic footballer. And a young lad called Tom Watson in the under-23s has been scoring lots of goals in the under-23s, but he got an injury as well. And he's just on his way back as well. So I think he's a name to look out for next season.
Well, both Rigg and Neil have both come through. They've both come through the academy?
Yeah. So we've got a few. Yeah, we have got a few. Obviously, Matt Anthony Patterson, the goalkeeper, he's academy as well. And they're really high on a lad called Matty Young, who he's a goalkeeper. And he's been on loan to Darlington, which was around about the same age as when Jordan Pickford went out on loan to Darlington.
Right.
And I know a few Darlington fans who, like, it was quite close to us, something. Yeah, and they're saying, from the age and from where they both were, saying Young's a mile ahead of where Pickford was. So that's quite that's quite reassuring to know that we might have the next big goalkeeper on our hands.
This is good. This is good. I have to ask the question of which I'm sure you will bristle at, but did you, as I suspected you might, the moment they said, here's a third season of Sunderland Till I Die, go, oh, shit, that's us cursed? Because let's face it, in the time that the first two seasons of the show came out, and I think, you know, a lot of people might like or might not like, I thought you got a real kind of good feel from that, of the people and the city, and I think it came over well, genuinely. Not so much the Manchester City one, if you watch, that's a cure for insomnia, yeah, if ever there was one. But, of course, you guys were it was chronicling a team and a club in decline, and it was almost became like watching a slow motion car crash. The seasons stop, and suddenly you pick up and are doing well. And the moment it came back out again, I thought, oh crikey, I hope this is good. Obviously, it was a much more enjoyable watch, I'm sure, in terms of chronicling some happier times. But obviously, the moment it's come on, how do everybody look at that now overall? Is it a good thing to have a documentary team flurrying around the place, or is it just a curse?
I'm glad that they went ahead with the third series, because I think especially when we obviously got promoted about at the end of it, and I thought, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's a really nice touch what they do at the end with the lad who passed away, unfortunately, yep. And it's quite a nice score, ending, you know. And I didn't watch the second series. I just could not bring myself to watch it, with it being getting beat off Charlton in the playoff final and all that stuff. Like that. I'm just not subjecting myself to it. But I have watched the third one, and I think it's very well made. I really do think it's glad. And they finished it now. We're not doing any more. So it was good to end it on that kind of story, I think. So it's not meant so much this year, because it's been 2 years since it all happened. So they were meant to bring it out last year, and then I think for some reason it got delayed. So for me, it hasn't really. I kind of put that down to that having anything to do with this season, because I've not literally been on.
Yeah, blame Wrexham. Yeah, you're quite Wrexham. Right.
That's why it didn't come out, because they all went, oh, look what's going over there.
Yeah, Wrexham. Yeah. That, I think that's probably it. Yeah, but yeah, it's had, like I said, they haven't been even here this year, so it's just. The fact we've been bad this year has just been bad decision making from when they sat Mowbray, and not bringing in enough experience, I think.
And is it Dreyfus? Is he still in charge of the club?
Yeah. Well, I think so.
Well, that's a question. Yeah. How are everybody with him? Because obviously he's got money behind him, but it's not just money that kind of will win you out of the championship. How are everybody looking at the ownership of Sunderland now at this moment in time? Because obviously bringing you up is great, getting you to where you are. But as you say, after last year, the expectation is a hard thing to live with.
I think a lot of people are starting to turn a little bit. There's what's happened with the Derby game, with them literally giving Newcastle the Black Cats bar, but then allowing someone to deck it out with Newcastle colours. And I think they had something about we all hit Sunderland in it and shit like that, which was horrible. And luckily enough, they managed to find the mistake out quite quickly and get rid of it before Newcastle came. But that has stuck in a lot of people's heads. It really has. And it's just a massive one goal, isn't it? You can't do that. And we seem to have rolled out the red carpet for Newcastle. Like every little thing that they wanted, they got, sitting fans behind the goal, where we normally put the fans up behind us, as you well know. That for me was just wrong. We literally just, like I say, we just bent over to every demand. This is our closest rivals in football. And it was dealt as a money-making exercise. They just thought we're going to get as much money from them as we possibly can, which, like I said, it left a lot of a bad taste. So, and then obviously in January, we didn't really bring anyone in of any substance when we needed to. We needed a striker. We didn't bring a striker in. We probably needed a defensive midfielder. We didn't bring that in. And from then on, it's just gone horribly. Like this year's just been horrific. So I think the fans a little bit, I think he's got him and Christian Speakman, who's our director of football, I think they've managed to maybe have enough in the tank to have one more crack at it, as in next season. But I think it's make or break for Speakman and for Louis Dreyfus, to be honest. Because if we can't afford to have another season like this season, because I think, like I said before, I think Jack Clark will leave, and then you're taking our best player out. And if we carry on in this form, then I think we'll go down next year. I really do.
Wow.
Well, there we are. There we are. Well, we know sometimes when the level of expectation, I mean, in our case, because we'd come down from the Premiership rather than the size of the club and the momentum we created, which is you last season, sometimes it is difficult. When you've got Tony Mowbray, for example, they're doing still a pretty stand-up job, but you feel it's come to the end. Sometimes the change doesn't help. And obviously, Michael Beale was a misstep, and you can't afford to do too many of those.
This is Barry from Watford saying, you are listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. Thank you.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So, that's, as we all know, it's a dead rubber. It's a dead rubber come Saturday. But Watford have not won at home since November. We desperately need to have a win. So, let's turn.
They're bound to win because I'm not there.
Well, let's see. Let's see what happens there. Because I think it's absolutely time.
DNSYE, completely rubbish prediction league.
No! God, please, no! No!
That's Peter's favourite job of the week, doing
it
that.
It is absolutely my favourite. It's my favourite thing always. Now, anybody who's been listening to this load of old tosh, well done. You've been absolutely A-plus for perseverance in the hope that something would improve. We've taught you the lesson. We gave you no promises, and we've delivered on those no promises. No improvement has been seen. However, this morning, I got up, and I looked at my phone and my WhatsApp messages, and what did I see? My fellow podcasters squabbling.
Getting stitched up here.
It's just dawned on me that if I was to get my prediction in now for the Sunderland game rather than waiting to be 3,500 miles away, that would then stop anybody else from having that, as I understand. So I'm going to attempt a little game here. I'm going to put a prediction in for you merely so that you don't steal my points that I've, because quite honestly, the trust level between myself and this prediction league is quite low at the moment based on what happened to me last time round. So, Sunderland visit Vicarage Road. I fancy us, after I've seen the performances in the last few weeks, I fancy us to get a win, nothing to play for. So I'm going to go for Sunderland 1, Watford 2. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Well, there we go. There is a voice message. And of course, we're playing this all for, there's nothing really on this, really, is there? So that's fine. But of course, Carlos, you are here, so we can't accept your 2-1 because you have to do it, and you do have to do it in order. However, Justin wasn't just letting that go. Justin replied with the following.
Right. But you going first, see, I'm losing trust in this prediction league as well, really, because you going first, when you should in fact be going last, because you're leading the...
Now, I'm going to stop it there, because that goes on for about another minute. People losing trust in a league, in a prediction league, where we have a fucking dog and board games taking part, and you're talking about trust. Shame on the pair of you, honestly. Well, whilst we do that, let's get and bring Ant up to speed, because Ant is playing for the EFL. You will feel comfortable about where the EFL are, because they're like Watford and like Sunderland, they're wallowing around in mid-table for doing absolutely nothing. So the 1-1 prediction... After a string of draws has basically ripped up to the top of the league. John Parslow got another 3 points with another 0-0 prediction last week. Sterling work. Carlos also is keeping pace. Now he would of course be joint second, but as we know, he has lost trust primarily because nobody was fucked over. You were docked a point for not delivering. At the point of recording. That's all it was. And let's face it, we gave that back to Ant, the Hull Ant, not the Sunderland Ant, who agreed that, yes...
I've always liked the Sunderland Ant more.
Docking of a point was a good idea. So we've got 1-1 on 39 points. We've got JP Backgammon FC on 38, and we've got Carl on 37. With two games to go, this could almost get well, still pretty dull, but you know, what the hell. We've got Justin leading the charge out away from the bottom of the table on 29 points, EFL on 27. Jarvis Cocker Spaniel is on 25 points, having also been Dr. Point, as we know. And Artificial Stupidity is floundering around like Nottingham Forest at an FA hearing at the bottom there. So,
so topical there.
Yeah, there you go. All right, thank you. So what we need to then get to is understanding who else is going to be putting in the predictions. So let's turn to our faithful filmmakers for audio podcasting. I think that's very, very important. Today, let's start with Jarvis Cocker. Jarvis Cocker Spaniel. Last week, he didn't make it. He sent his substitute, which was a tin of cream of tomato Heinz soup, who came in.
It actually was. It was. I'm not making this up. It actually was.
It was. But this week, you'll be pleased to know that the dog is back. The dog is back. Bit of Elton John.
Bit unkind to Ant.
When I were a lad, my dad took me to the Vic on the 25th of September 1980 to watch us take on the mighty Sunderland. Do you know what? We stuffed them 8-0. 8-0, lad. Anyway, enough about that. Let's get on with the prediction. Ready?
That was just gratuitous and unneeded. Well done.
You're
well done.
Ready, bud? Let's have our score for Watford, please. Oh. Was it a 2 or a 5? Hold on. The footage. And you got a 5. So Watford...
Go on, pick 6.
So there you have it. Watford 5, Sunderland 0. Not quite the 8-0 from the 80s, but it'll be a nice way to end the season at Vicarage Road. Come on, you horns.
Oh, do we think that's likely? Now he just finishes here. With a lovely view of the floodlights, the old Vicarage Road end floodlights that shone down on Watford 8, Sunderland 0. Sorry, I was at that game. I think I was probably the only person here who was at that game.
I wasn't at that game.
Man. It was astonishing.
I was in a testicle, I think.
Well, yeah.
And not for the last time.
I was going to give you a little bit of stick for, like, giving the dog, like, some drop points. But now, after saying that, you know, take all the points away from that was harsh, wasn't it?
Well, the dog's warranting it. The dog's been warranting it through now. Now, as we all may know, one of the great losses of the season was John's lovely Cocker Spaniel, Pippa, who had previously been accompanying him as he would call into Twitter Spaces. And unfortunately, having lived a long and spectacular life, Pippa left us just before John had to go up to take part in the Great North Run, where he filmed his backgammon on the Angel of the North for the Sunderland game. And he also filmed the Leeds thing the day after at the actual Great North Run. A day after losing Pippa, making a dogging joke straight away. Well done, John. You'll be pleased to know that John is now in the advanced stages of recovery, and next season we may be looking at some dog-on-dog action. Those of you, some of you may know
what?
That...
Where is this going?
John this is has a new this, Cocker Spaniel puppy called Bailey. All oh, sorts of fun. All sorts of fun. Could it be dogs? Could it be board game? Could it be dice? Could it be all three?
Business League, and it's Watford versus Sunderland, and this week it's going to be Black Dog versus Black Cats.
He's ready, and the dog's ready. We just need an incentive, so what better than to chase? Very funny looking Black Cat. So it's Black Dog versus Black Cat. We're going to prep the machine. Bailey, in that goes. Ready? Wait for it. And it's kickoff. Go. And they're off. And she's done it. And we have a score in. And it's Watford 6-3. 3. And Sunderland 6-3. 3. So it's a Desmond threesome. Well done, Bailey. A draw in your first game. Good start.
A Desmond threesome.
I think we've got a lot of training to do this summer. Bailey, I think this is going to be a long pre-season for next season. Lots of training to do, but we'll get on it.
Well, there we go. We have complained previously that that there is no such thing. There's no such thing as a Desmond threesome. But hey, we've discovered something.
Desmond threesome. Yeah, great music, by the way. Led Zeppelin 4 opening track, Black Dog. excellent piece of music there. More... The production values are getting better as well. I'm sure. Did you put that on? Did John put that on?
Yeah, John sends me the videos and I splice and dice. But I have to say I do very very little for Ben and Jarvis. This is all a homemade production that basically involves ruining an entirely good coffee table most of the time.
Yeah, no, excellent music though. Yes, that's just cheating. So that was a 3-3 in the end. So we got a 5-0, a 3-3. It was 1-1,
We do have to explain to the people who don't get to see this on Twitter for whatever reason. Please go and look at it. It's just great. But the dog there in this particular instance, we now have two dogs. John's dog, Bailey, named after Isaac's successes. His family don't know it. So if you're listening to this and I've let that out of the bag, whoops. Hey, and it's let's face it, there are two things he could have been called. You're very lucky your dog's not called Hookers, so that's all fine. So he's basically got the dog into one of those kind of tunnels, those spiraling tunnels, and at the end of it, he's got the Amazon box, and on top of that, he's got some kind of sponge dice in appropriate colours. The dog's knocked it down, and that's how he's doing it. Who knows? Backgammon with dogs. Who knows what could happen next season? It's probably not going to be the high level of quality that we've been showing this season. Probably going to get worse. Never mind. Right.
It was like sort of a bizarre crafts, wasn't it, that video? I do recommend you go and have a look at that. It is. And by the way, Bailey was a puppy when I met Bailey. Getting big now. That's quite a big dog now. So, yeah, very good. Very good, John. Well done. Yeah, so, Peter, run us through our options.
Well, the options are, because we're going to turn to Ant of the EFL. We always turn to our guest first. And basically, random nonsense, if you remember, artificial stupidity, has gone Watford 0, Sunderland 3. So somebody is going in Sunderland's favour. 1-1.
No wonder why he's bottom of the league.
that is true. 1-1 has gone 1-1. John has gone for the wonderful, wonderful Desmond threesome. Yeah, that graphic I'm going to be using quite a lot. That's fine. And we've also got Jarvis Cocker, who has gone 5-0 to Watford, which is excellent stuff. Any other scoreline you wish to predict, Ant, when the Wearsiders, the Black Cats, come to face the Hornets on Saturday? What do you think it's going to be?
Well, firstly, I think it's shame on Justin and Carl that you're both losing to a guy who plays backgammon and dice.
True.
Which is, you know, he's randomly putting them scores in. The news have actually, you know, actually put some thought into it.
Well said, Ant.
I would like to say I've had a points deduction, so I would be.
There we go.
Not enough guests have shamed you too.
Away from me, the first fucking game of the season. Just as I'm about to go 1-1, it's gone.
At least you've got over it now.
Yeah.
But look where I would be if I could do 1-1. Buddy, top of the league.
Top, yeah.
Well, as we know, there. you can't just claim something and that be yours. Let's get back to Ant. Let's find out what the EFL are pitching in. What kind of prediction do you think?
Well, I think Sunderland 0 is very, very... I don't think we'll score, but we have been better away from home lately. I think Dodds is... kind of tactics, which is to basically just to bore teams to death, quite work away from home. So I'm going to be really dull and boring. I'm going to go 0-0.
Oh, that's the winner.
Oh, God. I think that's the winner. If it is 0-0, that will be Watford's fourth 0-0 out of five games. I mean,
it'll be our sixth out of eight.
Yeah. If we know where the clever money and it's with the EFL. Let's turn to Justin. Justin, you cannot have 1-1. You cannot have 3-3. You cannot have 5-0 to Watford or 3-0 to Sunderland. You cannot have 0-0. But literally, any other scoreline is available to you. What would you like to go for?
Well, the fact that Ant has spoken so wonderfully about the quality that Sunderland are putting in makes me think we might get our first win under Cleverley. I keep saying this in the hope that it might happen.
Second win.
Oh, at home, sorry. And our first home win since November. Sorry, home win. That's very important because we did beat Birmingham, didn't we? So I think this could be the 1-0 that I keep predicting every fucking week. Let's go for 1-0, Watford 1, Sunderland 0.
Well, there we go. Carlos, the 2-1 that you forecasted this very morning is available to you. Or you can be flexible and decide to change it based on information that you have now gleaned from Ant with regard to Sunderland's strengths and weaknesses. What do you wish to go for?
Yeah, I'm just double-checking something here. There's two games remaining. I can't be caught by Justin now, can I?
No, it's impossible.
Excellent. Right, so this doesn't actually fucking matter now then. So I'm going to say yes.
No, no, barring huge unwarranted points deductions, because I am the FA, and therefore I am willing to, you know, basically fuck anybody over for money if any is available.
Yeah. No, 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 I can, you know, I accept that. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go with the 2-1. I know Ant's been very, very downbeat about his team, but they are coming to Vicarage Road, and we haven't won since November. So you never know.
Could it be 3-0 nils on the spin at home?
I'd love to have known the odds for that. I'd love to have known the odds.
Well, and they've said that the season ticket renewal has been 90%. I mean, well done, everybody. Well done. That's a testament of hope over experience. Sorry, Jess.
No, no, I was just, you know, nil nils are something that we seem to be getting quite used to now. It's I remember years ago, nil nil was like, no goals in the game. Wow. But now it seems to be de rigueur.
My only thing with that, I don't think it's going to be nil nil, because I did see us change it up a couple of years when Ken Semmer came on. And I think if he could get a run out against Sunderland,
maybe he's
going to cause problems.
Maybe this could be the game that we remember Ken Semmer for.
apart from the other games that we already remember him for.
Yeah. Well, yes, but we had to think about that, didn't we?
Right.
But this could be the one.
Can I just point out the fact that we have yet to sort out, we've chosen what it's going to be. It's going to be Gerard Deulofeu. He's going to be wearing the FA Cup kit on the Sabutio figurine. And we're going to have a special one coming out very shortly about how you can get in the hat to try to win this. But what a missed opportunity. We could have had a Sabutio player with his arms at 10-3, and it could have been Ken Semaphore. That would have been brilliant. What a shame.
Ken Semaphore. Yeah, it's as I said, Semaphore there. I thought, yeah, it's a dreadful term to use there. But this could be the one. This could be the one where we go, oh, Ken, yeah, that game against Sunderland, that was a... Could be. Probably won't. But it could be.
Very good. Well, as ever, scores will be allocated because the EFL have gone 0-0. 1-1 has gone 1-1. And John has gone 3-3, trying to bring in Desmond Tutu, which is just not a thing to do. Justin has gone 1-0 to Watford. Carl has gone 2-1 to Watford. Jarvis Cocker Spaniel has gone 5-0 to Watford and clearly hasn't clipped his nails and is ruining a coffee table. And Random Nonsense has gone 3-0 to Sunderland. But hey, we will see what happens. Let's face it. Points will be allocated.
Scratch your eyes, you do not. Rubbish this prediction league is.
Yes, it is.
Very good.
So, Ant, I think I probably know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Are you coming down on Saturday?
No.
I thought you might say that.
I've been to Vicarage Road, though, this season. I went to watch the lasses there and met Pete. So
I did.
Yeah, I had a lovely day. But no,
never has that been said before, that somebody met Pete and had a lovely day.
Well, they did win 3-0. I think they had more to do with it than me going...
It might have been.
Wait, Watson, take your attractive football and head back up north, I said.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens on Saturday. It is 3 o'clock, isn't it, Saturday? Because I think the last game of season is 12:30, isn't it? Away to
mid. It is 3 o'clock.
Nobody cares anymore, Justin.
No one cares, honestly.
No. Honestly. I know we're not allowed to have our favourites because we're obviously a professional organisation here at the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. But I must say, recording is something special when it's with Ant. I do like spending time with Ant. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he can drink like a fish.
Can I say, though, there's a slight disappointment here in that Ant Northgraves was wearing his Do Not Scratch Your Eyes badge when we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. And
he was. Ant put his in a frame.
Oh, okay. That's fine then.
It's actually still on the suit.
Oh, is it?
It is.
It shows how often that comes out, doesn't it?
That suit's available for bar mitzvahs, funerals, and weddings.
I've still got it. If it is on the suit, I'm afraid, yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
Glad you confirmed you still got it. I was going to say, and then I burnt that suit after Michael Beale. absolutely. Good stuff indeed.
Right, let's say goodbye to Ant. Thank you very much for coming on once again. I got a feeling we're doing it again next season.
Of course, yeah. Might be a bit more upbeat.
You never know, mate. You never know. Maybe we will be. Who knows? Who knows? So, yeah, thanks for joining us once again. It's been lovely to speak to you. Thank you very much. And Watson, thanks for coming on Do Not Scratch Your Eyes.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.